I absolutely love the sound of an orchestra, of all the various instruments coming together to form that one cohesive sound, that one chorus. And to, when you sit there, and for somebody like me who's not musically gifted, to sit there and see all the various parts, all the various instruments, you know, the brass and the strings and so on, and the percussion and so on, to see each of these individual sounds all coming together to make this, each of these individual instruments and noises coming together to make one sound, one harmony, one chord. It just puts me in awe of the kind of coordination that it takes from all these different people to make that sound happen. And you know, even somebody who's not particularly musically gifted like myself can recognize that. You can see the harmony, you can hear the harmony, and when there's dissonant sounds, you can recognize that too. I think in many ways, this image of a symphony works very well to kind of describe what St. Paul is getting at in his description of the church today in this second reading. Brothers and sisters, there are many different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. There are different workings, but the same God, who produces all of them in everyone. And then he goes on to kind of list all these different kind of spiritual gifts. You know, the one has faith by the same Spirit. One has gifts of healing by the same Spirit. One has mighty deeds, another prophecy, so on and so on. What he's talking about here is different instruments in the symphony of the Lord's symphony. That each one, he says everyone, produces these gifts in everyone. Each one of us has been given a different gift. Mine is different from yours, and yours is different than your spouse's or your child's or your parents'. But all of these gifts, when they're brought together and played in harmony, produce this sound, this symphony that is the music of the Lord. That's the kind of image that we have with the church today. And nowhere is this more plain to see, more important than at the Mass itself. When each of us comes together and each of us brings our own gifts, our own sorrows, our own background, our own cares, and places it at the altar. And to give you a bit of a heads up, so the church, here at Blessed Sacrament, we gave out the book, The Biblical Walk Through the Mass from Dr. Shree. And so over the course of the next several weeks, Father Yurok and I will be preaching on various aspects of that book, various aspects of the Mass in particular. And so today, I'd like to focus on the Mass as suffering, or excuse me, the Mass as sacrifice, not suffering. The Mass as sacrifice. And so you ask yourself, okay, how is the Mass sacrifice? You know, yeah, we have to get up early, come to 6:30 Mass, or, you know, skip out an hour of sleep, or, you know, on the weekend, or whatever. All right, that's not what we're talking about. How is a Mass sacrifice, and how is that played out? How do we see that in the Mass itself? Well, on one thing, the offertory, right? So when the offertory comes up, that's a small representation of what we all are offering to the Lord. It's a sacrifice, so to speak. And so when the offertory comes up, this the bread and wine, when it comes up, that's a representation of what you and I are placing on the altar. And even the symbolism of bread itself and of wine, you look at, like Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. And when you look at bread, when you consider bread, it's the breaking, the crushing of the wheat berries themselves that are blended together to form one bread. The wine, the same thing. Unless the wine is crushed, unless it's fermented, it's just grapes. But when it's all added together, mixed together, it becomes wine. That's you and I. That's our contribution at the Mass. And then when the priest says, at the beginning of the consecration, right after the offertory, "Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, for through your goodness, we have received the gifts we now offer to you." It's a kind of a fancy Latin word, the catabatic and anabatic relationship, that everything comes from God, and everything goes back to God. What we have received from your goodness, we now offer back to you. This idea of sacrifice, that we are offering something when we come to Mass. It's not a spectator sport. That you and I, we don't just attend. We don't attend Mass. We participate in Mass. Or at least we should. Some of us do attend Mass and don't participate, but we should be participating. And I don't just mean singing as loud at the top of your lungs. Yeah, maybe you can do that too. But by the very act of you being here, you are adding something to the Mass. Just from the fact that you are here today, you are adding something to this Mass. And hopefully you're taking something from it as well. But even all of that, even all that background, that's still not why the Mass is a sacrifice. And you know, for the last few decades, the 70s, 80s, the idea of sacrifice in the Mass was kind of downplayed. We don't want to talk about the Mass as sacrifice. It's more of like, you know, it's a community meal, it's a coming together, so the communion aspect was emphasized, and sacrifice was de-emphasized. Why is Mass sacrifice? Not because of so much what we come to bring, but because of the true nature of what's taking place here. The Mass is the sacrifice of Calvary. And because you and I are here, the sacrifice of Calvary happened outside of time, or it happened in time, but it's perpetuated outside of time. So what you see on the altar today is the exact same offering, the exact same sacrifice of Calvary, identical. You are witnessing Jesus Christ offer himself to the Father. It's exactly what's going on here. The sacrifice of Calvary was Jesus offering himself back to the Father. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, if this cup can pass, let it pass. But not my will, your will. Jesus is preparing to offer himself back to God the Father for our sake. That's the sacrifice we see on this altar. When the priest holds up the Eucharist, it's not just for you and I. It's Jesus offering himself to the Father on the crucifix, on the cross. That's the kind of sacrifice we're talking about. And when we see in our first reading today, you know, the water changed into wine, when the earliest Christians read that, they said the water, you know, the water was for ceremonial washings. The Jews, by law, by the old law, by the Torah, they were required to wash before they ate, right? And the fathers of the church said that the water in those barrels or in the jars, that represented the old law, the Torah, the washing, the purifying before the meal. But when Jesus came, he took that water and he transformed it into wine. He took what was plain and transformed it into something extraordinary. And not just something good, but the best. You save the best for now. That's the taking up of the old law and the transforming through his sacrifice into what we have as the Eucharist. And you and I, by coming together and joining our voice to that symphony, our voice to that chorus, we add something to the Mass. Because you are here, everyone else in this church is better off. I don't know if you've ever considered it that way. But everyone in your life is better off because you have attended Mass. Because you have received grace, and that grace will ripple out from you. That's the reality that we celebrate. And this Eucharistic liturgy is completely different than any other prayer we can offer. Any other prayer that we can offer, even other liturgy, is not the sacrifice of Jesus offering himself to the Father. So what we celebrate today, let's celebrate with participation. Let's enter into this mystery. Because the deeper we enter into it, the more not only that we can give, but the more our voice can be in harmony with the voice of the church, but the more we receive as well. So these next few weeks, as I had mentioned, we'll be continuing to kind of walk through the Mass, to try to enter into more of the mystery of the Mass. And so, I'd like to encourage you, continue to read that book from Dr. Shree. There's a little sign-up sheets in the corner of the pew if you would like to join one of the book study programs. And Dr. Shree's coming to do our parish mission in just a few more weeks. So let's prepare ourselves. Let's continue to enter more deeply into this mystery of the Mass.